Fortunate to be part of the TAG International Network of over 35 offices around the globe. We'd like to express our appreciation to them for all their continued support during our initial opening and our continued support and guidance in making Baltimore office a success 2 years later. We'd like to ask Moshe LeDrew, Director of TAG International, to address the community.
Shaya, thank you. I once heard on a tape from Rav Shimshon Pinkus. He said that after 120, he says, I'm going to come up to Shemayim. Me, Shimshon Pinkus, I'm going to come up to Shemayim. And Rav Kiva Eger is going to greet me. And he's going to ask me, Shimshon, did you ever learn a Blat Gemara? Shimshon, do you know what it means to learn a Taisus? He says, I'm going to stand there and I'm not going to have any words to tell him. And after a moment, I'm going to say, Rabbi Kivegas, I'm a Muslim. Forgive me for saying this. But did you ever throw a television out of your house? Did you ever walk by a newsstand on 13th Avenue and look the other way? He says, you didn't. Rabbi Kivegas, you had yours, and we have ours. The Friedrich Gesammer Rebbe said that what a person could see on the train from New York to Manhattan in one train ride, it took a Jew 70 years in the Alta Haim to see. And it always bothered me. What was the Satmar Rebbe trying to say? What's the point? Is he trying to tell us how difficult of a life we have? And I think the contrary. I think the opposite. I think what he's telling us is that what took a Jew 70 years in Europe to accomplish, a Jew could accomplish on one train ride from Brooklyn to Manhattan. And we all know that you could sit on the train your whole life and you'll never get exposed to it. You could get exposed to it in a moment on the way. We have the opportunity every day to overcome the nisyonos, where in a moment's time we could accomplish what took Jews 70 years to do in our time. I speak a lot of times to bachurim, to girls. I consider myself an expert in the questions and answers that occur during the sessions. But there's one question that I do not have the answer to. Rabbi Drew, if it's true what you're saying, then why is it that blank, my mom, my dad, my Rebbe, my teacher, my principal, has A, B, or C? That question I never have the answer to. I try with Terutzim, I say they don't know, they're from a different generation, they don't buy it. The question that they will ask me, that I don't have the answer to, is what we're here to address tonight. But I wonder, how could it be? How could it be the one place where we beg, a child begs to be safe and secure, is his own home? And that's the place that the majority of the kids tell me is their biggest nichshol, is their biggest pitfall. The place where we would assume would be the safest. 30 years ago, you say, as long as he's in my house, I'm safe, I know what's going on in my own home, I'm scared to know what's going on outside in the street. And today, halavai, go out on the street. I'm scared for you to come home. Because I don't know, I have tons of boys who ask me all the time, what do I do? It's been his manner now. Should I go back home? Should I not go home? And it's a real big challenge for them. In discussing the topic of filters, have you ever mentioned, it's a complicated sugya. It's not just like a filter for a sink, you just put it on and that's it. Once in a lifetime you turn it on and that's it. A couple of months ago I was at a yeshiva, and a bacher asked me, does filter slow down your phone? And I said, yes. And a few minutes later, somebody asked me about a specific filter that slows down the phone, and I said, no, it shouldn't slow down your phone. So a third voice said, hey, before you told us it slows down the phone, and now you're telling us it doesn't slow down your phone. And I said, I want to explain something to you. If you feel that you're going to put on a filter, because why not? Big deal. Doesn't cost me anything. It's not going to inconvenience me. Nothing's going to happen. You're making a mistake. It's going to be annoying. And it's going to take time till we figure out how to set it up. It's going to be details that are going to need to be worked through. It may slow you down, it may not slow you down, but the attitude cannot be, just put it on, big deal, it doesn't cost anything. Because it will cost you. It will cost you time and frustrations, until you get that filter on. I'm pitching filters, but I'm being honest. I want you to know that it's a commitment to put it on. A young man once walked into my office and he said, how long will it take to put on the filter? I said, an hour and a half. He said, wow, it takes an hour and a half to put on? I said, no, it takes me 10 minutes to put on, and then I need an hour and 20 minutes from you over the course of the next year to make sure that it works. That he understood. I think in discussing the granularity of filtering, Rosh Hashiva mentioned it before, people have to look at their phone and decide what it is that they really want. We slipped the last few years. Things that were unheard of. Simchas Torah, 5 years ago, if I would have told you that there's going to be a website where thousands of chassanim and kallahs are going to post their pictures to the web, I don't think anybody would believe me. And we're 5 years later, and it's just accepted. It's accepted. Girls, frisha, 18, 19-year-old girls posting their picture to the whole world. It's a charbonner. And we're just, this is it, this is what we're doing. Nobody even realizes how far we fell in the last 5 years in our standards. But that's one thing. It's one thing to go on the internet and to take a slip to the left, a slip over here, maybe I shouldn't have gone to that news website, maybe I shouldn't have. But if a person wants to know what type of Jew are they, and they look at their phone and they see an app, that's you. That's not a mistake. That's not a weak moment when you decide one day to go onto the internet and maybe you went to a news website that's inappropriate and you shouldn't have been there, or a different website that hosts movies or whatever it is. Maybe you didn't belong there. And maybe you could say, that's not me. Occasionally I slip, maybe I slip, and that's why you have to put filters on to make sure that you're protected from those slips. But look at your phone. Is that who you want to be? The one thing we ask from everybody is to take the time. Take the Yishuv Hadas at home. We're not here to tell you what to do. Tag doesn't dictate any opinions. The Yeshiva was quite clear with his opinions, but we don't have our own. We don't tell you what you should have, what you shouldn't have. But we ask from you is to take the moment to decide what it is that you really want. Decide, is this what I want? If it is what you want, then we'll let you have it. If it isn't what you want, make sure you don't have it. It's crucial to choose those levels that you're going to make the right decisions with. And then come into TAG and we'll figure out for you. Or you can come into us and we'll discuss it with you when you're there. I just want to share a story that happened with me and on some Gedalia. I think it's a very important message. A boy came into me. Me on some Gedalia, and he asked me if I would put a filter on his device and remove it on your Matzah Yom Kippur. I thought it was funny. I said, you're playing games with Hashem. It's the Yom HaDin, you know, but the Yishter knows what you're going to do after Yom Kippur. He says
that's
no.
Palter.
His Rebbe told him that Aser Simei Tshuva, a person should live at a higher madrega. And I want to live at a higher madrega. So I want you to put it off for me today and take it off for me Matzah Yom Kippur. I said, okay, you're right. I put the filter on his phone and I gave it back. Over the course of the next few days, I repeated the story to people. I said, no, someone came to me and said, Gedalia, take it off Yom Kippur. And everybody asked me the same question. What happened? I said, I don't know. Call me after Yom Kippur and I'll tell you. And the day after Yom Kippur, I get a phone call from the boy. He says, Rabbi Jew, please take off the filter. I said, okay, now I know the rest of the story. He goes, what do you mean the rest of the story? I said, well, you know, I repeated this interesting story to people and everybody asked me what happened. And I said, I don't know until after Yom Kippur, I'll tell you. Now I know what happened. So he says, okay, you know what, let me call you back tomorrow. And he calls me the next day and he tells me like this, you should know I do not have the strength to leave this filter on my phone. I don't. But I'm so scared that the somebody you told the story to is going to become schwach. And when he hears that I took off the filter, whatever reason, he won't end up putting on the filter or he'll take his filter off. And that I'm not willing to have. That I'm not ready for. Leave my filter on so that the rest of Klai Yisrael can keep their filters on. Rosh Shiva mentioned the peer pressure. In order to create this environment, you need to tell people about your filters. I know a younger man, I don't know if this is best practice, but he has internet at home, and he has a filter, and every time he gets blocked, every time, he opens up the door to his office and he screams down the hallway, "Kindlock, I just got blocked by my filter." He says, how else am I supposed to know that this is it? This is what it means to be a Yid today. It's not all glitz and glory. You're going to get blocked, and I'm going to get blocked. I want my kids to know about that. We have to stand proud when we put on a filter. When we're annoyed by our filter, that's the time to tell somebody, this is it. Rabbi Victor used to say, when you see a blind man in the street, that's the time to say, thank you Hashem that I have eyes. And I think it's the same thing here. When you get blocked, and when you have to pull tag, and you wait on hold until they fix your problem, that's it. That's the mysterious nefesh, not the time when you put it on and everything's working for you. I want to end encouraging everybody to do it. I want to end telling you that your own children are very, very keenly aware of the dangers of technology. I've never been to an event where I spoke with Bachram or girls and they were something about what I'm talking about. With them, the conversation starts. After a minute of talking, I right away open the floor to questions and answers, and everybody has the right questions. They know the problems. We don't need to be mechavish to them the problems. They really, really, really understand it. They're AG. They were born after Google. We're BG. We were born before Google. And it makes a big difference. It makes a big difference to the upbringing and understanding. And we know life before. We remember our parents. We remember our grandparents. We know what it means to look at a person who didn't have internet. We understand that. And sometimes we slip. Sometimes we're looking at our phone in the middle of davening. Sometimes we're looking at our phone in the middle of supper, in the middle of bath time, in the middle of who knows. All the tzaras that we know we're doing wrong, we know it's wrong. Because we remember seeing people not doing it. Or we remember ourselves, 5 years ago, not having a smartphone. But our children, they don't know that. They've been growing up in a world where all they see is everybody around them, their parents, their teachers, their friends, their sisters-in-law, their brothers-in-law, all have phones. Only they can have. That's like, no, you can't have. So what do you think the child is thinking? I can't wait to become big, because all I want is my smartphone. That's all I want. Mm-hmm. We're not going to inspire our children. We're not going to teach them that this is something that you don't want, but you need to have, for whatever reason. And there's ways to do that. We have ideas. Some people have two devices. I have a tablet for work, and I have a phone, a flip phone for work, for personal use. I come home, I don't have email. I come home, I don't have internet. I go out to my car, I have everything I need, just like everybody else has. But it's a big difference. When I'm home, I'm not getting buzzed every 5 minutes, and if somebody needs to reach me, they call me or text me. Who said we need to have everything? I got an email today from my Russian developer in Russia. She wrote, I will not be available, because I will not have internet access for the next 4 days as I'm going on vacation. My friend wrote back to me, he was on that email, he said, halavai, we would keep that for 4 days we would go on vacation and we would pack and close our internet. The guy tells us that she doesn't have internet for 4 days. Could we do it for a supper? Could we do it for coming home, for a dafir mishir? Rav once told me, he used to be a 45 degree angle meant somebody's learning. A 90 degree angle of the head meant the person's sleeping. Now there's like an 80-something degree angle, which means he's looking at his phone under his gemara. Torah, tefillah, family time, social media, it's not what we want. It's not what we expected 5 years ago from ourselves. Do it. It's worth it. It's worth it for yourselves. It's worth it for your children. Hashem should give you kayak. You should be able to get through that initial installation, get through the discussions with your spouse about how to set it up, and long term will be here to help you make sure that it's working for you in the conveniences that you want and not allowing the things that you don't want access to. So.